Beginning Parshat Tetzaveh, we have the idea of the Big Day Kohen, the special clothes that the Kohanim wore. Plus it tells us, bring near to yourself Aaron, your brothers, and send with him from among the children of Israel, to minister to me. You shall make vestments of sanctity for Aaron, your brother, for glory and splendor. And as source 2 notes, quoting the Ramban, the vestments were to honor the Kohanim, for these garments were similar to the garb of royalty. According to Sforno, the vestments were for the glory of God, and to lend splendor to the Kohen Gadol, the teacher of the nation, so that he should be revered by all the tribes. What we'll touch on today, although it's not our focus, is what is this idea of L'chavod L'tiferet, the idea of the Big Day Kohen, the clothes of the Kohanim being that of glory, that of splendor. Why was it necessary for the Kohanim to dress in this fashion? Our primary question today is going to be, as articulated in Source 4, Tifa Moadim, Rav Gamliel, Min ha'ra'uy l'tbonen b'tama d'hai hilchata v'im mishum simcha ba'alma lo matzinu minhag kaseh b'shari t'ato'ot ha'simcha shel Yisrael. Taking a look at the holiday of Purim, we don't find in any of the other aspects of simcha, whether it's simchas beit ha'shoeva, whether it's the simcha of other yontifs, the amount of simcha that is expected from a person on Purim, the drinking, the merrymaking. How do we understand the nature of this day? In particular, Umin ha'nereshe kashur zeh minhag l'simchat ha'purim b'dayka, v'suba alenu l'chapeis tama kishur shal minhag ha'techposot l'chag ha'purim. Our focal question today, albeit the idea of the simcha is important, but our question is one aspect of the simcha, which we don't find in any other holidays, and that is the getting dressed up. How do we understand the tachposot, the costumes, on Purim? We don't find in any other day of the year that there's an idea of dressing up like somebody else. How do we explain this? And what we're going to learn together, Mirtz Hashem, today, we've talked a little bit about some of these ideas in the past. We'll take a look at most of the ideas from a different perspective in Mirtz Hashem today. Is costumes considered? What is the deeper idea behind the costumes that we wear on Purim? And we'll take a look at quite a number of ideas, and we're going to try, Mirtz Hashem, to delve into a few in particular. I would like to say at the outset, this is an important caveat, in no way am I suggesting, am I encouraging that women get dressed up on Purim. What a woman does on Purim is what is nahul, what is the customary in your, so to speak, in your neck of the woods. So we're not talking about that there is a chiyuv for women to get dressed up. There's an obligation for women to get dressed up. Not at all. What we are saying is that those who do get dressed up, in particular the children who get dressed up, what should our mindset be in seeing them? How can it inspire us to be a better Oved Hashem? And even adults that do get dressed up, and there's an idea of like changing even one thing, what is the mindset behind that? Question 3, Rav Goldstein in Makida Rakia, relatively new sefer, in source number 3, brings down the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. A person has to say, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, cursed is Haman, blessed is Mordechai, Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther, V'gam Charvona Zachor Latov, and the Megillah story asked a very obvious question. We don't see this by any other holiday. We don't say, on Pesach you have to say, Arur Parur Paro, cursed is Paro, blessed is Mordechai, right? Cursed are the Yevanim, blessed are the Maccabim. What is going on here that on specifically on Purim, we have Shayachiyu Mutal Aleinu Levarech HaTzadikim, and we bless the righteous people and we curse the wicked people. How do we understand that about Purim? So that is, Emir Tzashem, going to be our focus today. And once we're in ready touch on, very briefly, the Kohanim for Parshat Tetzaveh and Purim, I'd like to also touch on Shabbat Zachor, which is the Shabbat before Purim. How do we understand some ideas about Amalek as well, so that we'll get all three, so to speak, in one fell swoop. Purim is a day dedicated to giving tzedakah, charity, and helping the poor. First idea, which we're not going to develop the first few, we'll just make mention, is inside Purim, Rabbi Strickhoff. He mentions, and this is based on the Otzar Tamei Minhagim, that Purim is a day of giving tzedakah. people may be embarrassed to ask for stuck. In particular, people would send their children to ask. So that way, if you get dressed up, you can't be recognized. You've lost the idea of embarrassment. The color poche, yeah, no limlo, anyone who extends a hand, you give to them. And that way, you're giving to people without any sense of busha. Nobody is embarrassed. That's one reason why we're getting dressed up. The Otros HaTorah in source number 7 brings a different idea, that we know that Chazal tell us that the reason Vashti refused to come to the king is because she got, her whole body was full of tzarat, was full of leprosy. To show that there was a change in her body, we too make changes on us as well, Zecher LaNeis, to remember the miracle that transpired. Continuing on the next page, source number 8, we dress up in commemoration of the many wardrobes, disguises, and mistaken identities depicted in Megillah that contributed to manifestation of the pure miracle, including but not limited to Esther not revealing her identity, Mordechai hiding the fact that he knew 70 languages, Mordechai tearing his clothing, putting on sackcloth, Esther donning her royal clothes to enter to the throne. I'm just doing some. Haman's daughter pouring refuge on her father's head when he mistook Haman for Mordechai. Eliyahu Navi disguised himself as Charvona, recommended Achashverosh and Haman be hung. Mordechai being clothed in royal robes, promoted after Haman's downfall. Hashem hiding his face. All of this, again, is Otzar Tamei Minhagim, because there's so much clothes and so much disguising of oneself and hiding one's true identity. Again, Zecher LaNeis, to remember the miracle, we do the same. And finally, the idea of we dress up because of the fun of the day, doing so adds to the simcha of the day. It's part of the merrymaking of the day, it's a simcha of the day. In the footnote, he notes, while some hold that the minhag gets to dress up as goyim, many hold that it's better dressed up in a distinguished manner in commemoration of Mordechai being dressed up in royal robes. Many also recommend it's best to dress up like tzaddikim. And we're going to touch on this question. And again, not halachically, but hashkafically, is it better to dress up like, you know, Batman and Robin, so to speak, the evil people? Or is it better to get dressed up like the tzaddikim? And both have a source in what we're going to speak about. Our structure, Mirza Hashem, for today is going to be very simple. Clothes have two aspects to it. Clothes conceal, clothes reveal, and clothes do both. We're going to take a look at quite a number of levels on the clothes concealing. We'll look at one level, Mirza Hashem, on the clothes revealing, and Mirza Hashem will conclude on how the clothes both reveal and conceal at the same time, and that will give us a sense of the clothing, and obviously a deeper sense of Purim and our way to celebrate it accordingly. What is the clothes about? In what way are clothes a reminder of concealment? So, again, from the Otzar Tamei Minhagim, Rabbi Strickroff brings down source number 10. This is going to be the first one we're going to examine more in depth. When Chazal inquire as to where there's a hint of Purim in the Torah, they answer from the Pasuk, V'anochi astir astir panai, and I, Hashem, will surely hide my face, which refers to Purim. Purim represents the first time that the Jews recognized that Hashem would, quote-unquote, hide his face by no longer performing the overt supernatural miracles that were commonplace in the era prior to the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. Since the destruction, Hashem is constantly involved behind the scenes, manipulating seemingly natural events and performing hidden miracles. In view of the fact that Purim miracle came about through Hashem's hidden face, we similarly hide our faces on Purim by donning disguises. So the first idea is Hashem concealed himself. We, emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also conceal ourselves. We wear a mask. Again, Rav Gamliel, Tifa Moadim, source number 11. He quotes here from the Magid Mimezerich, Dusha Salevi bring Megillat Esther from the language of concealment. That we have this new idea, as we mentioned, where Hashem hides his face. V'inei kamayim panim el panim. Right, there's a reflection here. Kishem shanagat Hashem yitbarach imanu b'zayom ibnistim hanistarim. Just like the miracles on this day are hidden miracles, we follow suit. We follow in Hashem's ways, kivyachol. Umahu minahig mitzeter b'yom hazeh, just like he, kivyachol, acts in a concealed manner. We also act in that concealed manner. Ulefichach nagu l'chasot ha'panim, that's why there's an idea of covering your face, and to wear masks on Purim, and we just get dressed up like a different person, to show this idea of hiddenness. Sha'af ki, double underline in 11, nir'eh ish deh, harei mistater mitchabesh shami shacher. Hey, it looks like, you know, so-and-so. Looks like, you know, Reb Chaim, but it's really you know, Chaim, your neighbor, right? It looks like, but it really is. It looks like that there's a world of Teva, but really, Hashem is behind this world of Teva. And he says this is the reason as well, in source number 12, again, a shikur, a drunk person, doesn't appear to be who they normally are. Again, the outer appearances don't reflect the inner core. Part of this is what's discovered on this day, because this is a day where Kodesh Baruch Hu conceals a tremendous amount. As the Kitvei Arizal writes, "Sheyesh olam achad gavom nalam me'ad hanalam mod hanalam v'nistar." There's one very, very high place, and only once a year is this opened, and that's during the Kriyas Megillah on the on Purim. Al Shem Shemegalah Nistarot, it's a day when the concealment is revealed. And again, this is the whole idea. It's a day of concealment, a day of concealment, knowing that behind the concealment is a real person, is, you know, someone you really know. Behind the concealment, kivyachol, that Hashem has all year, there is this revealed essence of great power, which we'll talk about Mirz Hashem at the end of this year, that comes to the fore. And this is why, as Rabbi Roberts points out in Timeless Season, Megillat Esther is not referring to the person, Queen Esther, but it's Gilui Haster, a book that reveals hidden things. Its narrative brings to light the extent of Hashem's infinite influence in a world known as Helem, from the root meaning out of sight. No, he's not concealed. He only seems to be. And it's our duty to recognize his presence in every event in our lives. That's what the world is about. It's called for a... It looks like chance. It looks like lottery. It looks like Teva. It looks like the natural aspect of the world when we know that deep down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found there and Hashem is running the show. Which brings us to an idea we have done many times. It's one of my favorite ideas in Purim, so I like repeating it. So bear with me, my friends, in Source 14. On Purim, we read the Megillah of Esther, Rabbi Tatz, that scroll which represents the hiddenness of Hashem's management of the world. Esther mina Torah minayim, anochi astir, astir, astir panai. And it's just because of this hiddenness that we can and must exert ourselves to reveal the divine hand. When the Jews at that time, the bracket of 14 of Purim, were faced with events which could easily have been perceived as mere coincidence, and yet chose to see that hand within those events, that was a deep and real acceptance of Torah. At Sinai, Torah was obvious. No effort was needed to perceive the divine. In a sense, the human role was secondary. At Purim, the divine was far from obvious, and that's why the Jewish people's acceptance of Hashem's rule then was, in the same sense, very more meaningful. Amalek's defeat at the time of Moshe and Yeshua was great, but Haman's defeat at the time of Esther was greater. To see the light when it's overpowering is not difficult. To cause the light to shine when darkness seems overpowering is heroic. Purim is a time of masks. Hashem is going into hiding in Jewish history. He has donned a mask. But he is not distant. If one is distant, one does not need a mask to avoid being identified. The distance achieves that. No, a mask is necessary when one is very close and yet wishes to remain hidden. The world is his mask. Nature hides his presence. This is the ideology of Amalek. Again, Shabbos, Parshat Zohar, Amalek. The idea of Shabbos Zohar is to remember that the Amalek mindset is something that tries to be able to permeate our beings. Where Amalek says everything's a coincidence. You know, there's a coronavirus, and it's going here, and it's going there, and it's, you know, everything is just haphazard. We say no. Every single place where it's found, every single time that it hits, where it hits, how it hits, there is a master who is weaving the show. That's what we have to understand. Jewish history, that's what we have to understand. Personal history, that's what we have to understand life. The mask, when I see the mask on Purim, when I see people dressed up, I have to remind myself in Matati Odeo that I know that behind this person, behind this mask is a person I know. The person is standing right in front of me. I don't recognize the person only because of the mask, but they're very close. Likewise, sometimes I don't recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu because, so to speak, he's hidden and veiled in this world. But he's very close. He's standing right there. He's watching over me. Metzitz min acharakim. He's peeping through the latticework. The costumes, the masks, remind us of the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remind us in the Hester Panim, in the concealment, there we find, just lift off the mask, you find that closeness, you find that identity. That's idea one. Idea two is a little bit deeper. Source 50. The Jewish people descended from Yaakov and Haman, from Yaakov, and Haman descends from Amalek, it's important to know the right commas, the grandson of Esav. Amalek's hatred of the Jews stemmed from Yaakov having, quote-unquote, stolen Esav's bracha when he dressed up as Esav and tricked their father Yitzchak into giving him the bracha. As Purim represents a pivotal battle in the consequential eternal struggle between the descendants of Yaakov and the descendants of Esav, we dress up as Yaakov did to demonstrate that Yaakov's action in tricking his father to obtain the bracha was not in fact sinful, but appropriate in that instance. And we indeed deserve to receive the bracha that was rightfully ours, rightfully Yaakov Avinu's. Let's try to understand this idea a little bit deeper and give us a little bit of a sense into what's really going on in the Purim story. Again, Magid Rakia, Rav Daniel Gladstein, quotes a lot from the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Cohn, where he says the following. When you take a look in Source 16 at the Targum on why Haman wanted to destroy Mordechai, the Targum says that the sinah of Haman wasn't just to Mordechai, it was to his entire nation. And Haita in the asterisk, Mushreshep is sinah hayishena shall avizik no Esav liyakov. As challenging as this is to understand, we can appreciate it. Esav, Haman, never was able to get over the fact that Yaakov Avinu had stolen the brachos. And throughout history, this has been the quintessential war. Who really deserves to be the chosen child? Who deserves to be the chosen nation? Haman wasn't satisfied that the Jewish people had stolen that bracha. So it wasn't just about destroying Mordechai, it was about destroying the entire nation so that Haman, Amalek, the grandson of Esav, and Esav would be able to get back to that position that they had wanted so many years earlier. How did Haman even think that this was possible? Ulama lo davar zeh gufa 17 sarach biyor. Ma hayta kavanato shel Haman ha-rasha zeh? Ki af im haya sonei yudim. Okay, I get it. Omnam ke'ei kvar zachai Yaakov ahem. Yaakov already got the bechori, already got the firstborn rights. Like, what was he thinking? So he quotes here again with David Cohen, who explains the Gemara Lam Natzeach al Ayelet HaShachar. Why is Esther referred to Ayelet HaShachar, the dawn? Because Esther is the end, just like the dawn ends the night, Esther ends all the Nisim. So we have to understand what that imagery is about, that Esther ends all the miracles. And then he goes on, he says that this Mizmor is, the Gemara refers to, is referring to Esther. Savavuni parim rabim abirei bashan kitruni. I was surrounded by many of the parim, and the strong ones of the bashan have started up. Says Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, who are these people? These are the nations of the world, specifically Haman and his children, the children of Amalek, the strong ones, who felt they had a right to be able to fight with Yaakov, because of Yitzchak Avinu's bracha vayakashir tari, which means that Yaakov, when Esav came before Yitzchak Avinu, it says, you know, Abba, you don't have one bracha for me? He says, you know, I just gave everything to your brother. And I just said that whatever the servant owns, the master gets. Like, what can I give you? So he says, you know what, I'll tell you what I'll give you. Al-char b'chatichya, you'll live by your sword. Ve'etachicha tavot, you'll serve your brother. However, when Yaakov Avinu, when the Jews aren't following the Torah and mitzvot appropriately, that's when you're going to be able to get an upper hand, and that's when you're going to be able to destroy them. Therefore, Haman thought, this is the perfect time. However, he gave an opening, and that opening is when Klai Yisrael not Ritzin Yim, Source 18, Ritzin Shomako, when Klai Yisrael are not doing the will of God, Vayakashir Tarid, then Esav can be able to get up and argue that you don't deserve the brachot, you're not following suit. So now that Klai Yisrael were Nan and Emel Sosuda, they enjoyed the meal. And they had a few years earlier bowed down to the idol, the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So now Haman thought, here is the time that Yaakov Avinu, Mordechai, Klai Yisrael are not being loyal to Torah and Mitzvot, and this is the perfect time to be able to overturn them. And that explains the Yalkut Shimoni in the bracket in 18. Pasuk tells us about Mordechai, Vayzak, Zaaka, Gedola, he screamed a great scream. The Medrash said, doesn't Mordechai know that Hashem can hear him without screaming? Rather, he was screaming as if saying, Yitzchak, my father, what have you done to me? Because when Esav screamed, you listened to him and you gave him this bracha, we are now up the creek and we need to scream now. So with this, my friends, we can appreciate that what's really going on here is not just a war between Haman and Mordechai. You ever wonder why Purim is going to be around even in the future? It's like a nice, sweet little story, getting dressed up. Whoa! This isn't a story about Mordechai and Haman. This is a story about Klal Yisrael and Amalek. This is a story about the eternal battle of the chosen nation, of who deserves the blessings, of who's going to be the supreme nation. That's what the argument is here. And that's why, my friends, we can appreciate in source number 19. When the Pasuk says, O Mordechai yatzah milfnei ha-melech b'vush machut chelef v'chur, etc., that when Mordechai went out with all of these wonderful clothes, writes the Gra, v'kan nitkayem b'Mordechai, havei gvir l'achecha. Here, where is Mordechai has fulfilled, you will be the upper hand to your brother. It's here, when he went out, that he was blessed with 10 things. So Rav Brevda, explaining this Gra, says the following. There are 10 things that are mentioned in Pasuk. Sala, Simcha, Oros, Soson, V'yikars, Mishta, etc. And Rav David Cohen then explains on this. When Adam HaRishon was originally cursed, he was cursed with 10 curses. Adam HaRishon. First man, Aru Adama be tzavon tochlana kol tzvadadar, the ground won't produce fruit, it'll be thorns and thistles, etc. Corresponding to this are the 10 brachas that Yaakov got from Yitzhak Avinu. You have mitalo shamayim mishvanea aretz v'rov dagav v'tirosh yavducha, all 10 blessings. So now we can appreciate what the Gra say. When Mordechai now goes out and we show that Klal Yisrael are on top, not only does Mordechai go out with 10 blessings, but his 10 blessings are confirming the 10 blessings that Yaakov Avinu got in his blessing. And those 10 blessings are to counter the original curse of Adam HaRishon. Therefore we find in Source 20, Shamelchama Sheben Yaakov Esav Shub Nitgal Galav Nitarav and Mordechai V'Haman. The original war between Yaakov and Esav is the war between Mordechai and Haman. And it's not just a war about between Yaakov and Esav and Haman and Mordechai. It's a war about being able to overcome the original curses of creation. Are they going to be under the aspect of cursed or under the aspect of blessing? And that is really why, you know, Haman minator minayin hamina eitz. Where's Haman hinted at? From that tree. This is a war that goes back to Eitz Hadat. It goes back to the original story of creation. Do we have the ability, does Klal Yisrael have the ability to hold on and to try to counter those original curses of the Chen Eitz Hadat? Or are we going to succumb to the curses of Adam HaRishon and the curses of the world? That's the Purim story. Just to take this one step deeper, and then we'll wrap this up before going a little bit deeper again. With this, we can appreciate, you know, when Rivka Imenu is pregnant, and she has these two twins in her womb, so whatever Navi, right, whoever that was, that she went to, Ratelech Lidroshet Elokim, they told her, Ula'om Mil'om Yemats, there's going to be a war of two nations, and one is stronger than the other. And we know the Sfarim speak about that one is going to rise and one is going to fall, that the two of them can never be on the same level. As V'hayinu Shemachamash ben Yaakov ve'Esav, the double squiggly in 20, Shemordechai v'Haman u'mavak alikar b'riyah, miyu b'chlal baruch, who's going to be blessed, who's going to be cursed. V'lachein yado eshet Haman v'chachamav Shemordechai kam, v'vaday Haman nofel. Now I can appreciate when he comes back after having, you know, been humiliated by Mordechai, Haman comes back after being humiliated by taking Mordechai through the streets, And but the Medrash says that his daughter threw the garbage on him, and I use garbage loosely. And he comes back and he tells Zeresh and all of his wise people what happened to him. And Zeresh's answer is very strange. She says, if you begin, no fail, if you begin to fall in front of Mordechai, there's no hope. You're going to fall even more. Nafolti po lefanav. You're just going to continue to fall. So this is the way a wife is encouraging her husband. But rather, we see here that there's something much deeper going on here. There's a kam nafal dynamics in the Megillah. And you find it throughout the Imre Noam points down in 21. By Mordechai, it says, v'lo kam v'lo za. He didn't get up. Esther says, v'tipol lefanav. She fell in front of her feet. And then it's flipped. Vatakam Esther. Esther gets up. Vahaman no fell. And then Haman falls. That's Purim. Zekam that then no fell. Purim is about the getting up and the falling. If Mordechai has risen, he's the one riding on the force, then there is no way that you too can be also up on that horse, so to speak. You're going to have to fall because it can't be. This is a way. This battle from the beginning of time is a battle of one rising and one falling, the other rising, and that's where it's at. Since Mordechai has risen, you have no option but to fall. With this, my friends, we can appreciate, first of all, in 22, Shere Yikar Mechama Shener Chaben Hamu Mordechai Megalazu Eitel Aldvar Zed Latzvo Likvo Mil Baruch Mi Ha'ar. Really, what this war is about, it's a war about which nation is blessed and which nation is cursed. Who's going to fall and who's going to rise. Therefore, when I read the Megillah and I publicly declare our salvation, Mutal Aleinu Achiyuv Lakir V'Lachriz Al Goldol Yeshua, we have to be able to, Lifnei Am Ve'Eda, publicly declare the greatness of this salvation and be able to make a public declaration. Who is the one that is in charge? Who is blessed and who is cursed? After we read the Megillah, we make a statement. Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai, let us be clear that Arur Haman, that Haman, Amalek, Esav, they are vanquished. Baruch Mordechai, know that we are the nation that is the nation of blessing. With this, we can appreciate the clothing. 23. To wear other clothes. Why? So we know, as we've been spoken about now, that when did Yaakov Avinu get these brachas from his father? When he dressed up as Esav. So therefore, when we dress up, when we are reminding ourselves of that the whole challenge and battle that ensued between Mordechai and Haman was because of the battle between Yaakov and Esav. And when did this battle happen between Yaakov and Esav? When Yaakov dressed up and wore different clothes. And when Yaakov wore those different clothes, he was able to get the brachas of Baruch. Therefore, on Purim, we get dressed up and remind ourselves that we are indeed the ones who are blessed. We, like Yaakov Avinu, got dressed up. We get dressed up and remind ourselves from that moment that we continue to be the ones of blessing. However, my friends, it goes even deeper than that, because we know the Midrash tells us, in the asterisk in 23, that where did these clothes come from that Yaakov Avinu wore to get the blessing? They are the big days of Achamudo. They are the beloved clothes of Esav. Esav took these clothes from Nimrod, who originally got them, from Noah, who got them from Adam Arisho. So you see here, my friends, that the clothes that Yaakov Avinu wears are the very clothes of Esav, which are the very clothes of Adam Arisho. And what Yaakov Avinu is doing is saying, I'm taking these clothes of Esav, the clothes of Adam Arisho, which represents the clothes of curse, and I'm able to transform those 10 aspects of curse to now be able to receive the bracha from my father and be able to make them into now 10 blessings for us and for Klal Yisrael for all generations. Therefore, on Purim, we Yaakov Avinu has to use trickery, which is exactly what the Nachash, the serpent, used in order to trick Adam Arishon, to be able to get the brachos, to be able to leave from the status of Klala, the status of curse represented by what the Nachash created, to be able to be worthy of blessing. So therefore, my friends, I warned you, it was deep. Maybe I should have warned you a little bit more. Therefore, in a nutshell, my friends, when we get dressed up and or see others getting dressed up, it's reminding us not just of Yaakov Avinu taking the brachos, not just that we have vanquished Esav. It's more than that. It's to remind us that we are bar bracha. We are the nation of blessing, and if we are the nation of blessing, we have to live up to that vision that Yitzhak Avinu had for us and to be able to behave in this way. Just to take this idea, if it wasn't deep enough, just to drop deeper, and then we'll go off. Okay, I can't say it to easy street. This is a complex shir. Rav Rotberg in Melda Labina, in 24 through 26, notes that where you see another aspect of this battle between the supremacy of Haman versus Mordechai, Yaakov versus Esav, I'm just going to summarize these ideas, is the fact that when Yaakov Avinu fights with Esav's archangel, when he fights with him, we know that he touches him on the yerech, on the thigh. And by touching him on the thigh, he's in some way damaging that purity, that wholeness of Yaakov Avinu. That thigh is then echoed in a few hours later when the children of Yaakov bow, again the thigh, to Esav. And that gives Esav to some degree some hold on Yaakov. The one child not to bow down to Yaakov, simply because he wasn't born yet, is Binyamin. And therefore Mordechai, who refuses to bow down to Haman, says that the fact that we're able, that Haman is even able to have somewhat of a hold on us, even able to threaten us, is because we, Klal Yisrael, bow down to his ancestor Esav. But I didn't bow down, Binyamin didn't bow down to Esav, and I refused to bow down to Haman. By refusing to bow down, he's holding strong that he will not capitulate on any level to Haman, to Amalek, to Esav in any way. And therefore, Ubechopam Shisrael Enami Nagim Kishirami Tarer Zakashal Esav, although that every time Klal Yisrael doesn't behave well, that cry of Esav has an upper hand. Once Mordechai comes into the picture, what he has done was silence that voice. And that's why we say, Valkein Naseh Purim, the end of 26, L'yantiv Nitzchi, it's an eternal yantiv, because it's a tikkun gomor l'Klal Yisrael. It's a yantiv that will be found in the future. As we say, Tshuva Samaisa L'Netzach, this winning of the war, the salvation is forever. The salvation is forever because Mordechai has been able in this war to silence that voice of Esav, to silence the voice of Haman, of saying that they deserve to have the blessing. And that is why Mordechai was necessary in 27 for Mordechai to be able to have Klal Yisrael have a reacceptance of the Torah. It's as if we need to take that aspect of bracha, of blessing, and be able to bring it to its fullness, to be able to reaccept the Torah, that indeed we are deserving to be that eternal nation for all time. Okay, my friends, so what we've seen so far in depth, just to remind ourselves, is the first idea of that we looked at is that the mask reminds us that Hashem has gone into hiding and that we have to understand that in our lives, there are many challenging events that happen in our lives. And there are many times that we wonder, where is Hashem? No, he's there right in front of you. Ah, you don't see him? He's wearing a mask. That's the Purim story, where Hashem is so close. His name isn't mentioned in the Megillah, but he's found almost in every pasuk, a melech, not a melech HaKadosh. It's a reference, Chazal say, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's there. Costumes remind us of Hashem's closeness, even if you don't see the identity. Idea number two, what is the clothing about? It's that this is really reminding us of the war of Yaakov and Esav. By Yaakov dressing up and getting the blessings, we know that Mordechai is able to give that grand finale that indeed the blessings belong to us. We are the chosen nation. And that in that way we have uprooted the original curse of Adam HaRishon, being able to take those clothes and elevate them to holiness, and therefore we're able to re-accept the Torah. We know that when we accepted the Torah originally, we went back to Adam HaRishon before the sin. on this way, even though it's not, you know, in a philosophical construct to a certain degree, we've also gone back to Adam HaRishon before the sin, in the sense that we've gone back to that original aspect of curse. And the Purim story, Tshuva Samayisrael Lenetzach, is about being able to overcome that feeling, to be able to say, yes, from here on in, we have shown that we are deserving of this blessing, and there's no more room to argue. And that, indeed, my friends, in 27, is what Rotberg explains, that Esther Sof Kol Anisim, Hainu Denezed De Purim, Kocho Mamshich Lenetzach Ad Sof Kol Adoros. What does it mean that Esther is the end of the miracles? We have many miracles since Esther. It means that the story of Esther is the end of this battle of showing the upper hand, so to speak, of Kla Yisrael at Sof Kol Adoros, that we are the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get the blessings. Idea number three. Source 28. Chazal explained, this is B'nai Yisrael, that the threat on Purim was not really a threat at all. It was only the appearance of a threat. For in the end, the Jews were not exterminated. Many years before the time Purim, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian ruler who destroyed the first base of Mikdash, forced the Jews to bow down to his idol. The Jews did so, but only because they were coerced, and only for appearance's sake. In their hearts, they were loyal to Hashem. As punishment for their sin, Mida Keneged Mida, as a justified punishment, Hashem made only an appearance of a threat at Purim. Just as the hearts of the Jews at Nebuchadnezzar's idol were with Hashem, so too the heart of Hashem was with the Jews on Purim, and no calamity resulted. Will we dress up on Purim, often in the garb of Goyim, to show that even though we sometimes sin and act like the Goyim, it is only an outward appearance. In truth, our hearts are always with Hashem. Which explains the Shavita Zahav of Yaakov Meir Schechter, 29 and 30, going back to the whole idea of Yaakov and Esav. That we know when did the story of Yaakov and Esav happen? It happens Leil HaSeder. The Leil HaSeder was the night of Bracha. Yitzchak Avinu said to Esav, tonight the Talei Bracha, the storehouse of dew is open for blessing. Let me go bless you. And that was the night that Yaakov Avinu got the Bracha instead. And it's no accident that that's the night, Balailahu Nadashnat HaMelech, that the king couldn't sleep, or the lowercase king down here, and that's really when the whole Purim story happened. So it's not by accident when we say that this is really the battle between Yaakov and Esav and Haman and Mordechai. It's happening at the exact same time. Haman's downfall is on Pesach. That's when Esav's downfall is. There's no coincidence, my friends. And just like Yitzhak Avinu feels Yaakov and says, you know, your hands feel like Esav, but your voice is like Yaakov. Every Purim, Hashem comes down to us and says the same thing. On the outside, you look like Goyim. But I know that deep down, when I really look at you, it's a Kol Yaakov. And when we get dressed up, particularly when we said the question, do you get dressed up like Goyim or like Tzaddiki? When you get dressed up like Goyim, it's saying that just like Yitzhak Avinu looked at Yaakov and said, it looks like Esav, it doesn't look like Yaakov, but it sounds like Yaakov. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes we don't look like Yaakov. Sometimes we bow down to idols. Sometimes we enjoy the meal. But no, deep down, that we are what? Deep down, we are Yaakov. Deep down. On the outside, we wear masks. But know, Hashem, that we are always connected to you. And that's why he says at the time, "Kasher shotim yayim v'vatli mekol levushim achitzonim asher masterim pni mutam v'libo shal yudim mitgalav yom apurim bechlal v'prap vishtei ayay kol kol Yaakov." You see this particularly when people get drunk on Purim. The people who should get drunk. Not everyone should get drunk, my friends. It's not like a carte blanche. It's a tzaddikim who need to get drunk. The others should just drink a little bit more and go to sleep. I just read somewhere, this is an FYI tidbit, that Sprite 7-Up helps balance those who drink. So if you have drinkers in your house, don't tell them this, but just serve a lot of Sprite and 7-Up and have them drink it, and that's going to offset the wine they're drinking. Okay, take it or leave it. I hope that's not the only thing you got from the shir today. This is the idea, says Masils Bavavam, that while you're in the Mishneh Hayayin, and Nichnas Yayin Yatsatso, the secret comes out of who you really are. And oftentimes, in the Sutta, your costumes come off. Then you see that's really not Big Day Esav, and really what's deeper underneath is HaKol Kol Yaakov. Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol is hiding. The war of Yaakov and Esav, the war of Yaakov and Esav really has two parts to it. That on the outside we look like Esav, but inside we are Yaakov, and understand that the war of Yaakov and Esav is really the war of Haman and Mordechai, and therefore Yaakovinu. We get dressed up to remind ourselves of the way Yaakovinu took the bracha, and that ultimately Purim represents that time when Mordechai refuses to bow down, that we become like sealed. Esther Sof Kol Anisim, that there's coming no more, longer a question of who deserves the brachas. That, my friends, is all looking at clothing as concealing who's behind it, right? On the outside, look like Esav. I don't know, there's a Yaakov inside. On the outside, we see the world as Tefah. We don't realize inside that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. On these three levels, garments are here to conceal, and if you take off the mask, you take off the garment, then you reveal who the person is. However, my friends, as we begin with, garments can also be not for concealment, but for revealing. I'd like to take a look at this idea. I grant you it's a little bit deep, and then we'll end with how the garments work as concealment and revealing at the same time. Again, the B'nai Suska, the Rastrukov of Codes, source 32. When Esther entered the king's throne room to request clemency for the Jews, the Megillah states, Vatobash Esther Malchut, and Esther put on her royal robes. In addition, when Mordechai was promoted by Ahasuerus after Haman's downfall, the Megillah says, Umordechai yatzam lifnei ha-melech b'levush malchut, and Mordechai went out from before the king in royal robes. The B'nai Sfascha explains that these royal robes actually refer to the Shechina, Hashem's divine presence, which descended upon Mordechai and Esther at those times to serve as a source of strength. In fact, Vatilbash Esther Malchus is where the Gemara learns that she had nevuah, that she had prophecy, right? It's not just clothes, it's prophecy. We dress up on Purim in commemoration of the miracle of Mordechai and Esther having been strengthened by being, so to speak, clothed in the royal robes of the Shechina. Similarly, when the Torah was given at Sinai, the Shechina descended on each Jew in the form of enveloping royal robes. Just as the Jews were dressed in the royal robes of the Shechina during the acceptance of the Torah at Sinai, we dressed up to commemorate the reacceptance of the Torah by the Jews that took place on Purim. Let's understand clothes on a different level, and this will echo back as well to our original idea of how the Big Day Kohanim are l'chavod u'tiferet for glory and splendor. Notes have Sufos Varochos, Rav Goldvich Zatzal, and we've done different types of these pieces quite a number of times in the past and many different parashios. Let's pick it up now, 33. Hasir Amerkazisha Mamar Zehu, it's pages and pages, I just really did the summation. Shachalchot and the Tu'im Betodato Shal Adam Shimahemu Memashmesh Bevate Gavai Shal Briachum Riyut. וחושף על ידם את הניצוץ הלוקי החבוי בה, מוכנים לבושים של כבוד. The bottom line is, my friends, we are involved in a lot of things in this world. In order to be able to reveal what we're involved in and who we are, that's where clothes come to play a part. הבגד שאדם עוטה, the arrow in 33, משמש לכאורה ככיסוי מסכת ערוותו הגופנית. You know, we normally look at clothes as covering up, right? When you wear clothes, you cover up your physical body. Truth of the matter is, it's not coming to conceal, which was level one, ela lachsof, to be able to reveal. This is what makes us human. Animals do not have clothes. They are what you see them to be. But we, who have the physical, as well as the nishman alukam imal, the spiritual as well, if I didn't have my clothes, I would just be looking at the physical being. The clothes enable a person to know who they are. When a person wears clothes, a king wears clothes, different officers wear clothes, you have a sense of who's standing in front of you. When a person is wearing really nice clothes, you say to them, oh, are you going to a wedding now? Do you have something special? The clothes give a sense, right, of where a person is holding what a person's doing. Umikan anabayim lideak derat tafkido shalom albush, and the dot in the bracket, we now have the understanding of what clothes is about. Adami pareoto masik tochnim ruchaniim nitura botchunali poshesh b'mamurav. A person very often is embarrassed by their physicality. And therefore, the levush, it gives a person the ability to express themselves in a beautiful way, to be able to stand upright. You're able to express the honor found within you, the nishmat elokim, the divine part of you. And that, my friends, explains, as the Rav Schechter points out, Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter, he says, you ever wonder the Chazal that say that Klal Yisrael in Egypt did not change three things? They did not change Shmam, their name, Lushonam, their language, and Malbusham, their clothes. So in the Lahavdil aspect of Sesame Street, which one doesn't belong? Malbusham. Shmam and Lushonam are things of essence, right? Sham, shame, is from Neshama, same. The letter shame or neshama, it's the soul of a person. I ever wonder, Reb Tzadok said, when somebody is sleeping or dozing and you say their name, they wake up. You say kufi, it makes no effect, right? The name is awakening the deepest part of a person. So if name and language, which is also coming from the speech, which is a deeper part of a person, how does that then relate to Malbusham, their clothes? And based on what Rav Goldberg Zatzal is saying, it makes a lot of sense. Because the clothes is not just the external clothes I wear. The clothes are a medium to express who I am, the depth of who I am. And that's why people have different tastes in clothes, right? Why doesn't everyone just wear the same potato sack? Because it doesn't reflect on who a person is. And that's why the whole idea of sneas is about. Sneas is not just to cover a person up. Sneas is about revealing the spiritual part of a person. And because you want to reveal the spiritual, you want to make sure that other parts don't get in the way of what you're trying to reveal. Now I understand, my friends, the Misimato 35, Ha'ikarit v'sisit shal adam hu efo lidog l'nafsho, shal af ha'tachlufot ha'levushim tisher pnimato lo pnima v'sircha l'lo shinuit. And that's the key, that when I wear different clothes, all my clothes somehow are able to reflect the core of who I am and what I'm about. My clothes should reveal my essence, my dignity, my greatness. With this, we can appreciate at 36, the idea that Big Day Kahuna are linked with Big Day Shabbos. In fact, we learned Big Day Shabbos from Big Day Kahuna. When we wear Shabbos clothes, clothes that are special for Shabbos, what we're really saying is, I've now entered a different dimension. I've entered, like the Kohanim, like the High Priest, into the dimension of holiness. Why did, our original question, why did the Kohanim wear clothes, the Chavul Tiferet? What is the honor here? Yes, it's the honor of the Mishkan. Yes, it's the honor of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But in the deepest ways, they were similar, as Ramban says, to the honor of royalty. They are expressing their ability to want to serve Hashem. That it's the greatest honor for them to be those who are dedicated to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Their clothes reveal this connection, the spiritual connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why Chazal tell us, if they weren't wearing clothes, they were Chayei Misa. They were deserving of death, because their outer wasn't a reflection of their inner. Their clothes was that medium of the outer to reflect the inner. Shabbos clothes, and why it's so important to wear Shabbos clothes, is that it enables us to reflect that inner Kedusha that we have, right? On Shabbos we have a Neshama Yaseira, an added soul. That added soul, that added dimension of holiness is reflected. Again, the Shabbos clothes aren't concealing anything. They are revealing that higher level of spirituality that we have. With this we can appreciate, my friends, going back to the original creation, when Adam HaRishon sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for him kot not or garments of leather. Omnam haita shashal nefila abuka. Yes, it was tremendous depth of a falling. Va'afo pike mudarot haktona lalu b'shon chachamim kot not kavot. But our rabbis call it the garments of honor. Right? The kot no or with an ayin has to turn into an aleph. That's our misimah, that's our goal. It helps a person. That's why Hashem gave them these clothes. It helps a person, albeit they fell, to be able to reveal the greater godliness that's found in them. The clothes are a medium. They are kelim. They are a vehicle, a vessel, to be able to help us be able to find the spirituality within our world. And hence, when Yaakov Avinu takes those clothes, that's exactly his job in the physical world. How can I take the clothes of Adam HaRishon and turn the ayin into the aleph, the or into the or, the leather into the light, to be able to see the light, to be able to reveal godliness? And hence, says the Sufos Marochos, Yaakov Avinu gave these clothes to Yosef HaTzadik. That's the Ketonet Pasim that the brothers were so jealous. He gave it to him because he knew, as Rashi tells us, Pasim stands for Potiphar, the Sarisim, the Mijanim, all of the challenges that Yosef is going to go through in Golos, that these clothes are going to help him in darkness be able to find the light. And is any wonder that the Chatao link, the five extra clothes that Yosef HaTzadik gave to Binyamin, the Chamesh Chalifot Tzvalot, as a conceptual linkage to his Ketonet Pasim, as if he's telling Binyamin, in the future you're going to need five extra clothes. You're going to need this, because Mordechai's job in the time of concealment, in the time of darkness, is to be able to reveal that light in Golos, to be able not to get lost, but to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual. Laihudim haita ora, that we're able to find this light. So hence, my friends, when we wear the clothes on Purim that are dressing up, these clothes are clothes of revelation. These are clothes that are saying, and that's according to this, when we get dressed up, obviously, in clothes of tzaddikim, to say, I want to show you how great I am. I want to show you of where I want to aspire to. I want Purim, the Kimu v'Kiblu, I want Purim, the day of closeness to Hashem, to show you of the kavod, the inner glory that I have of who I want to be, who I really can be. And hence, as we've noted before, there is an inyan that people should wear Shabbos clothes on Purim, and according to this, it makes so much sense. Because Purim is about revealing the inherent glory we have. Purim is about our closeness to Ribono Shel Olam. Our Shabbos clothes are those aspects of kavod, are those aspects of dignity. And the clothes that we wear, that's why you don't have to get dressed up. By wearing Shabbos clothes, if clothes are meant to reveal, then these clothes are revealing the essence of who we are. Having noted a few aspects of concealment, Hashem is concealed, Yaakov Avinu got dressed up that he didn't, Yitzchak Avinu didn't know, it's Yaakov, it's Esav, which happened on Leil HaSeder, which is where the Purim stories happen, but Leil HaNedash Dat HaMelech. We also have another aspect, that clothes aren't only to conceal, clothes are also to reveal, to reveal the greatness within us, our ability to be able to take out that greatness, that ore with an aleph, in a world of leather, in a world of lacking Kedusha. This is our job. When we are clothes, we are saying we are who we are. We are spiritual people, and our clothes reflect the inner part of who we really are. Purim, we're in Big Day Shabbos. Purim, getting dressed up to tzaddikim of the yearning of the spirituality that we want to express that's found within us. And indeed, just to summarize this level, and then we'll conclude, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, in his Sefer 41, says, V'yazor Hashem Yitbarach Shizkeh L'koch HaBegadim Mei HaPurim Mechabuta, we should be zochet, that our clothes should be of honor, Shigalu Erchein P'nimiyut Libeinu L'Hashem Yitbarach, that they should reveal the glory, the inner glory that we have within us. And he quotes here from Reb Nachman, Shekasher Yehudi Meshaneh B'Gadav HaPurim, when a person changes their clothes on Purim, Eina Kavanah Shireh B'Zem M'Madregato, it's not like you went down in a level. Ela Adaraba Faker, Aideh Hashinu B'Labushim Malek Kol Dargod Nimuchom Medaleba Mechain VaYofi Yapnimi Shegulo Rachefet VeKavod LaHashem Yitbarach. You're really trying to bring up all aspects of self and elevate them closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, my friends, last idea 39. We know that Purim is the highest day of the Jewish calendar year. It was a time that was signed, sealed, and delivered, Rav Pinkus, 39, that there's going to be destruction. Mordechai recognized, in order to get rid of this decree, Lo yo'ilu tshuva ma'isim tovim kasher yeshna kfar chatima, because there it's signed and sealed, tshuva wasn't going to really work, and therefore, or alone, He brought the children, right? Shlotam utam chet, who've never sinned, and had them fast and had them daven. He's trying to tap into the greatness, the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, kivyachol. Right? Pass by all those stations to get to the Kisei HaKavod. Vaydezen Nikalesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amisod zvukim heim to show that Klal Yisrael and Hashem are really one. Muvan, double squiggly, Shiva'ei Gilui Norav Zeh, at this very intense level of revelation, we went back to the level of Atan Nigleite Banan Kvodecha, Latet Lamcha Torah Mitzvos, that Hashem will give us Torah Mitzvos. Oto Gilui Shalava, Pnimichai Tava Har Sinai, and Nam Murala Shuv Pam Nosefet. It's never going to happen again. It wasn't supposed to happen again. Unless there's a terrible, threat to Klal Yisrael. And this is what the Kim of the Kibul. It's a reacceptance of the Torah. It's not just a reacceptance of the Torah, reaccepting that intensity that was found in the Torah. And that's what happens at Kriyas Megillah. And therefore, my friends, we understand that every year when Purim comes, Anu Zochim Li Galur HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo Ba'atzmo, we have a revelation of Hashem. The Ari HaKadosh says it's the same intensity that was found on Purim. There's an awakening, V'az Yishnai, Darud Avad Av Livno, a father to his son. And that's why there's so much rachamim, there's so much mercy. It's such an ein ratzon, such a time of favor. Kol hapol sheyad notim lo v'bodkim oso b'purim. Anyone who extends a hand, you give to them, you don't check them out. Klapei shmaya. Whatever we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem gives us. Hashem's love to us is revealed. And obviously the caveat is for us to express this intense love to Hashem. As we've spoken about in the Siva Shalom notes in 38. There are really two times a year that we enter into Lifnai Lifnim, to the holiest of holies, Yom Kippur and Purim. And as we know, Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Purim is the height. Purim is a time of intensity. Well, on Yom Kippur, says in Nesiva Shalom, to come close to Hashem, it's every al chayt. It's knocking brick by brick. On Purim, it's like setting up a stick of dynamite. The whole wall between us and Hashem is just blown up. It's such closeness. It's such intensity. It's a time where, as we mentioned at the beginning, that this special closeness of Hashem, this one doorway that's open once a year, they say that the souls waiting to get into Gan Eden are stand on line for the time of Kriyas Megillah, and then anyone who was deserving to get into Gan Eden is waiting on line, whatever that may mean, I can't explain it to you, is able to push through at the time of Kriyas Megillah. I mean, Kriyas Megillah is so intense. And that's why after Kriyas Megillah, we've mentioned many times, it's a Shas Ritzicha. It's a Ritzicha. It's a time of boiling point, like Ne'ila of Yom Kippur. It's a time to daven for whatever you want. Don't just run out of shul. Mamish, storm the heavens. The time of the Suda is a time to storm the heavens. It's a time of such closeness. It's a time of such tefillah. It's a time that's not found anywhere else in the Jewish calendar year. It's a time, even when we're not deserving, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the doorways for us to make requests. And oftentimes these requests are answered, even if we don't have the merit to have them fulfilled. How does all of this tie into close? So the example that the Nesiva Shalom gives, a double squiggly, is that if you want to carry a king's crown with all of its jewels, right? Silver, beautiful crown, golden crown with all of its jewels from point A to point B. You do not put it in a royal carriage. That's telling everybody there's something very important in that carriage. You know, you can go steal it. What do? You put it in a carriage and you put smart tooting, you put rags on top of it. Someone looks at it and they say, nothing major is going on here. And that way it goes unnoticed. That's Purim. Purim, you look at it, we begin with this merrymaking, what's going on here, this drinking, this, you know, shaving cream on people's windshield, right, the satan looks down and says, you know, I have no business here today, it's like Yom Kippur, he's out of job, Purim, he just looks down and says, forget it, there's nothing to do here, the people are crazy, they're drunk. Getting dressed up is to remind us that we put on these smartutim, we put on these robes, these rags, as if there's nothing going on, when we know that really what's going on here is the deepest of the deep, the holiest of the holy. What's going on here is so profound. The rags, the clothes that we wear, the tachbosot, the costumes, on the one hand, are concealing the crown of the king, concealing the intensity of the day. However, we have to be well aware that concealment is only in order for us, for ourselves, to reveal that intensity of what's found beneath, that we're able to access it. So when I look at somebody who's dressed up, I remind myself, it is so holy today, it's a way to make sure the satan isn't going to get involved in my tefillos. And to remind me that this is what I need to do today. I need to put up signs by my door and my refrigerator, have it ready of people to daven for. So every time I open my fridge, every time I open my door, this one should have a Zereshel Kayama, this one should have a Refuah Shleima, this should have a Parnassa, this should have a Zivug. I'm davening all day. The gates are open. I'm storming the heavens. Whatever Megillah I'm using, if you're using a book, write a note. I'm your Gragger. Write names. All day, just use this as the Shari Shamayim are open. My friends, in the schus of recognizing that the day is so intense and that our concealment is just in order to reveal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefillos of all of Am Yisrael, l'tova u'l'bracha.